الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or the Islamic Studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. While teaching you about the Islamic faith, I want to also encourage you to change your life and start doing what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And that's for anyone that is in this class. I am encouraging you to do so, and I too must do what is right and forbid what is wrong. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper and pencil for taking notes. By the way, those who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be about the etiquette of conversation when it comes to what a Muslim is supposed to say and what a Muslim is not supposed to say, and how they're supposed to conduct themselves and guide their tongues. I have noticed that sometimes an adult will use profanity with children. Also, children will use profanity aimed at adults. Other times, just listening to a conversation from another room between an adult and a child, it is hard to tell who is the adult and who is the child, because they are going back and forth with each other and the conversation is doing nothing but getting louder, and neither person is giving in to the other. And I'm talking between a child and an adult, or maybe two adults going back and forth, and more they talk, the more they become fierce in their language, and the more they start cutting each other with their tongues. It's like swords going across the skin and opening the skin. Because once you say what you say to another person, you can't take it back. It's like you can't unring a bell. So we have to be careful what we say to one another. This morning, maybe some of us left home saying a particular thing to a loved one, and we thought about it throughout the day and probably thought like, man, I shouldn't have said that to her. I shouldn't have said that to him. And I hope that you will have the courage to maybe call that person up and apologize to them. Or they will call you and apologize to you for something you said to them on this morning that you thought about, and you're saying, man, that was not the right thing to do, or right, not the right thing to say. Now, yes, there should be some mutual respect between adults and children, and of course adults with adults or children with children, but each has its place, and disrespect and use profanity should not be part of the conversation. A child has his place, an adult has their place. Also, two adults going at each other. And profanity and disrespect and cutting each other up with our tongues should not have any place in our conversation. When I talk about etiquette of speech or conversation, I'm talking about not using profanity. I'm talking about not backbiting or talking nonsense, or arguing with another person, or raising your voice with another person, because you can still get the conversation or still get your point across without raising your voice. You can still get your point across without backbiting or using profanity or becoming angry with that individual. You can still get your point across without going to the extreme and hurting someone. Now, a Muslim has a certain way that he or she is supposed to talk with others. And we are guided by the Quran and the behavior of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Now, at this point, open up your Quran. Hopefully you have them with you. And Quran is the last revelation sent to mankind from Allah. Like the Quran was sent as a revelation. Also, the Bible was sent as a revelation. And the Torah was sent as a revelation to mankind to guide them from what is doing what is wrong to doing what is right and being on the correct path. So at this point, open up your Quran. And you're going to turn to chapter 33, verse 1 through 4. That's chapter 33, verse 1 through 4. And it's a very short verse of verses. And it says, and also remember, before I read it, you have various translations of the Quran. And so your wording in your Quran may be different than mine. So I just wanted to let you know how they translate the Arabic into another language. And so sometimes when you do that, the sense of the Arabic is lost when you translate it into another language. And so I just want to remind you of that. Or some when they translate it, they may translate and change some words around. That's why the Quran is in the original language, which is the Arabic. Now Allah says, again, in chapter 33, verse 1 through 4, it says, the most merciful Allah, he taught mankind the Quran. He created man. He taught him eloquent speech. So Allah taught us Quran, presented the Quran to us, and also to have elegant speech. Not speech that has no eloquence to it. And not one that speech that every time you open your mouth, it comes like fire out of your mouth. That is not good speech. The speech we're talking about is speaking with wisdom. And people can like listen to you and they get something from it, from what you're saying and understand what you're saying. And your presentation is smooth and not harsh and rough. Now, we are not to treat people in a bad way. And what do I mean by treating people in a bad way? Even a person who is a bad person, we are still to treat them in a good way. What do I mean by that? A man asked permission to see the prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him. And the prophet said, he is a bad member of the tribe. When he entered, the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, treated in a frank and friendly way when he spoke to him. When he departed, his wife asked him, Messenger of Allah, when he asked permission, you said he is a bad member of the tribe. But when he entered, you treated him in a frank and friendly way. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing be upon him, replied, Aisha, which is his wife's name, Allah does not like the one who is unseemly and lewd in his language. So he was directing his wife to say, okay, I know this person is a bad person. I know how this person is. But still, I am not to treat this person in a bad way. I am not to use lewd language, language that is not good language towards this individual, although the person is the way the person is. So I hope that you all that are in my class remember this. You may come across some people that are really nasty, probably the most nastiest person you ever met, but still you have dignity in your speech and in your action and in your behavior. And don't let that person drag you down to the low place where they are. If anything, you pull them up to where you are. So don't go down to their level. You pull them up to your level. We must avoid unnecessary talk. It's an act of worship. It was mentioned by one of the prophet's companions. He said, by him, except whom there is none worthy of worship. Nothing is more necessary than the long imprisonment of the tongue. is that it is better for us not to say anything, which I'll talk about that later on, than to say things that you don't, that you really don't mean, or you're going to say it in a harsh way. You're going to cut your co-workers down. You're going to cut people on the street that you don't know down. You're going to cut with your tongue those you know and those you don't know. You're going to really go home and slash your family members up to the point that they don't even want to be around you. Because every time you open your mouth, you say nothing but bad things out your mouth. And this is going, this is, doesn't matter if you're the king, or you're the of a particular nation, or you are the, I guess what I would call for right now, the lowest person in that particular nation. It does not matter. We should imprison our tongue. The best thing for us to do is imprison our tongue. I'm not saying just don't say anything at all, but watch what you say. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, when he spoke, you can count the words that he said. But also, the meaning that it, in those short amount of words that he said, it has such great meaning. And see, we shall get to the same habit of doing the same thing. Don't talk and talk and talk just to be heard, so people can hear you, to draw attention to yourself. Speak with meaning, or keep your tongue in prison. It is also said in chapter 49, verse 12, so go ahead and flip to it. That's chapter 49, verse 12 in the Quran. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get to that. So open up your Quran, my students, please. Turn to chapter 49, verse 12. And it says, O you who have believed, avoid much suspicion. For some suspicions are sins. Do not spy, nor shall anyone backbite the other. Is there any among you who would like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? No. You yourselves abhor it. Fear Allah, for Allah is a scepter of repentance and all merciful. And so we're talking about backbiting now. Biting the back of someone else. Biting the back of someone else from Islamic standpoint, it's like eating the flesh of your dead brother. And no one wants to eat the flesh of their dead brother or their mother or anyone else's flesh. You don't want to do that. That's the bad thing about when you talk about backbiting someone. It is similar to that. Also, the backbiter will not enter paradise. We all want to strive to the best of our ability to get into paradise. We want to do all the things that we can do to get into paradise. We want to say all the good things that we can say to get into paradise. This is what we should do, and we should strive for, and not go the opposite and do all the bad things to get into the hellfire, or do the bad things to get into the hellfire, because the hellfire, we will be there for a long time, receiving all kinds of torture and pain for a long time in the hellfire. So one of the things that you can do to avoid hellfire and to enter paradise is not be a backbiter. It is also mentioned, I want to sort of define backbiting a little bit. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, said, do you know what backbiting is, or do you know what is backbiting? The companion said, Allah and his messenger know best. Thereupon he said, backbiting is talking about your Muslim brother and the matter which he dislikes. It was said to him, what if my Muslim brother is as I say? He said, if he is actually as you say, then that is backbiting. But if that is not in him, then it is slandering. So if I'm talking to you about another person, I am backbiting him. It may be true about that person, but that person is not present. But I'm backbiting you about that person, that he is this or she is that. I'm backbiting that person who is not present. But if it's not true what I said about that person, then I am slandering that. I've been slandering that person. And these are the things we don't want to do, nor do we want anyone else to do that against us, so we also do not want to do that against someone else. Now, punishment of a backbiter is what the prophet was shown when he was taken to the hellfire, and so he can learn about what happens to the person who is a backbiting person. So what happened is Angel Jibril will show him what goes on in hellfire, so that he'll be able to tell the people, look, this is what I saw in the hellfire, so you need to avoid it. And so it was said that the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, said, during the Miraj, this was one of the time when he made a journey with Angel Jibril to go into the hellfire and see what's going on in the hellfire. He said, I saw a group of people who were scratching their chests and faces with their copper nails. I asked, who are these people, O Jibril? Jibril replied, these are the people who ate flesh of others by backbiting and trample people's honor. So we do not trample someone else's honor, and we do not eat the flesh of others by backbiting. Because one of the torture that will be happening in the grave is that you will have, or we will have, these like copper-like nails and scratching our faces and scratching our chests because of what we did in this world, which is backbiting someone else, utilizing this tongue of ours, and not having the eloquent speech that I mentioned earlier, but instead having a speech that you backbiting someone else, or you slandering someone else. It was also mentioned by the prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, and he said, he advised brothers, he said, maintain silence because it repels Shaitan and helps you support your religion. He, again, like I said before, the imprisonment of the tongue. We have to be careful what we say. So he said, maintain silence. This was his advice. It repels Shaitan, the devil, and helps to support our religion. So we need to the best of our ability, to maintain what we say and to avoid saying the wrong things. Imprison our tongue as much as we can, because once we release what we're thinking into the world, we cannot bring it back. So if you want anyone to hear it, then don't say it. You don't want them to read it, then don't write it. You don't want them to see it, then don't do it. It's a simple formula that I think that my students and myself should implement in our lives. It also mentioned that excellence of faith lies in avoiding senseless things, avoiding senseless talk, avoiding doing senseless things. And so we, to the best of our ability, my students, please, avoid senseless things. Avoid utilizing that tongue to cut people up, to say things that you slice in that person, or that that person may forgive you, but they may not forget. And it may come up later on what you said to them, or you see their behavior change, or in their eyes you have been taken down a notch. They had you on one notch level 8, for example, now you're down to level 5 because of what you said to them, or your disrespect that you said to them. Now, who are the successful believers? The successful ones, and it's going. We're going to chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Again, in the Quran, chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. So I'll give you some time to open up your Quran. Hopefully everyone has one. If you don't have one, you can buy one from the store. You can go on yislam.org, and you'll be able to get a Quran. Or go to, or visit a local masjid at a Muslim place of worship, and perhaps they will give you a Quran. Again, that's chapter 23, verse 1 through 4. And so it says, Allah says, successful indeed are the believers, those who offer prayer with humility, and those who avoid vain talk or falsehood, to the end of this particular chapter. Again, the one who offered their prayer in humility, and those who avoid vain talk or falsehood. So you want to be amongst the believing people, believing in Allah. Then, of course, we make our prayers for the Muslim, and also we avoid vain talk and falsehood. Also, we as Muslims, we do not speak nonsense, because it was said by one of the Prophet's companions. He said that a man died. Someone requested a messenger of Allah to give him the great news of paradise. The Prophet of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, asked, "How do you know that he will go to paradise? He might have spoken nonsense or would have been seen miserly." And so he said about this individual, you don't really know the condition of this individual. I can't say anything of good or bad about this individual, because he may be an individual that talk nonsense, always a vain talker, anything like that, or was a miserly person. Also, in chapter 2, verse 263 of Quran, that's chapter 2, the 263rd verse of the Quran, I'm going to give you a little time to get to it. Hopefully I'm not going too fast for you. Again, that's chapter 2, verse 263 of the Quran. And please, I encourage those who are my new students or my old students, please get a copy of Quran and bring it to class. And you can also, of course, read it when you're not in class. That's okay. So go ahead and read it when you're not in class. And if you have questions about Quran or about some of the topic of Islam, or something that you want to ask about Islam, you can reach me at IslamicFaithInFocus@gmail.com. That's IslamicFaithInFocus@gmail.com. That's all one word. Again, IslamicFaithInFocus@gmail.com, and you'll be able to ask me some questions about Quran or about Islam or anything like that. Maybe you might have some topics you want me to talk about in our next class session. And so you can go ahead and get in contact with me through that email address. Now, it said, the Prophet Allah, he advised from the Quran, he says, "Kind words and forgiving of faults is better than a charity followed by injury, and Allah is most forbearing." So again, he says, kind words and forgiving of faults is better than charity followed by injury, and Allah is most forbearing. It is also mentioned about an act or what a person can do that will guarantee them paradise. So it was reported by one of the companions of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him. A person asked the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, about an act that will guarantee him paradise. That the messenger of Allah replied, "Feed the needy and make greeting a habit, and then pray at night," and some other things that he had mentioned. But right now he said, make greeting a habit, meaning speak to people good morning. For us as Muslims, we say assalamu alaikum, may peace be upon them. And then the reply would be wa alaikum salam, and wa mean and may peace be upon you. That's one of the best greetings that we can give to each other. God, I want peace upon you, and you want to give peace, want peace upon me. And so we greet those we know and those we don't know. And so one of the best things that we can do is feed the needy and make greeting a habit. Also, it was mentioned by a little story here, which is going to be a little bit interesting. It says that one of the brothers, he was told that one time Isa once passed by a pig. He said to him, "Go in peace." People asked him why he said that to the pig. He replied, "Because I am afraid that I may get used to bad words, even to this pig." He said, "Go in peace." He wanted to formulate his lips to say only that which is good. And so this is what he said to the pig, go in peace. He wanted to practice as much as possible to say those words that are good. Not words that are bad. Because the more we practice bad words, cussing and fussing, that kind of thing, the more it become easier, become a habit. So we want to make the habit of not saying bad words and not cussing and not fussing. Now, who will be the worst people on the day of judgment? Because we're all going to go before Allah on the day of judgment. A person asks the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, to allow him to come in. And the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, said, he is a bad man of his tribe. It's what I have mentioned earlier. And so I want to go a little bit further. Well, when he came in, the Prophet smiled at him and talked with him gently. When he was gone, I asked that you heard him talk rudely, but you did not raise your eyebrows. Rather, you treated him with a smiling face. He, may peace and blessing be upon him, replied again to his wife, Have you ever seen me using offensive language? On the day of judgment, the worst person will be the one who people had avoided because of their vulgarity. And so again, utilizing the same conversation I mentioned earlier, when I had added something to it, which is the worst person on the day of judgment is this kind of person, the ones that use vulgar language. And so we do not want to be one that use the vulgar language. It is also mentioned in chapter 25, verse 23. Again, that's chapter 25 of the Quran, Quran, chapter 25, verse 63. Sorry for the mistake. It says, and the faithful slave of the most merciful are those who walk on the earth with humility, and when the foolish address them with bad words, they reply back with them with gentle words. Again, emphasizing the importance of saying good words. When the foolish people approach you with their bad words, then you go come reply to them with gentle words and with kind words. And so I want to remind my students, this is how we're supposed to walk on earth. With gentle words and with kind words, or even to avoid as much as possible the foolish ones. Now, some of us may know people that just about every time you talk with them, they want to argue with you. They always want to be right and have to get the last word in, including children talking to adults. And so we want to avoid disputes. The worst in Allah's sight are those who always want to dispute. And so we want to avoid this to the best of our ability. And remember that we have the angel on the right side, the angel on the left side, writing down what we do. Angel on the right side, writing down our good deeds and what we say. And angel on the left side, writing down our bad deeds and the bad things that we say. So we want to avoid this. So my fellow students, thank you for attending class today. You have been listening or attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.